This podcast is part of the Deluxe Edition Network. To find other great shows on the network, head over to deluxeeditionnetwork.com. That's deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
Hello, listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hello.
We are a film podcast inspired by the quid pro quo scene in Silence of the Lambs. Each month we pick a theme, and each week we pick a movie that falls within that theme. And we are in week three of Allie Appreciation Month.
Woohoo!
I mean, technically my birthday has happened already, but...
Yeah.
You get a whole month.
But we're in that bubble.
We're in the season bubble. Tammy, before we get your pick, everyone has a new chair. Is everyone very happy right now?
I'm so stoked.
Yeah, I'm much happier in this chair.
I know. These chairs are much nicer and more comfy. We could just bring them in here when we record now. Matt, do you want to talk about what happened to you in the bathroom today?
Yeah.
Who touched you and where?
No, it wasn't. I mean, this happens to a lot of people. It affects a lot of people.
Well, we talked about
it on the Nightcrawler episode.
We talked about it on the Nightcrawler episode and the propensity for men to talk to each other at the urinals.
So it's pretty fresh. It's a pretty fresh combo.
Or, you know, how we don't like it. But
there's only a few things you can say to another man.
Yeah, Allie and I went to lunch today.
Deer Park.
Yeah, we went to a deer park in Newark.
You townies.
Yeah, I know, right?
I know. But, every time you suggest it, though, I make a face and I go, okay.
What do you want from me?
Chicken wings.
You don't like going to the places on the main drag.
We either go
to Grain or we go to Deer Park.
I got a salad and it was a very good salad. I just feel like every time you go in there, it smells like sour
beer.
Yeah.
And the floor is sticky. Like it's an old bar. So like I understand, but I just feel like it's just...
The last time I went to Kate's, too, it was the same thing.
Kate's is the same way. Yeah.
Nachos, wings, beer. That's what you get there.
And it just kind of smells sour.
Bar food.
Yeah, it smells
sour.
But,
like, I had to use the bathroom. I've been going to Deer Park for probably about almost 15, 20 years now.
Since the beginning of time.
Yes. You drank with Edgar Allan. Yes.
Okay. I'm used to the fact that there are only... two urinals in this bathroom. So it's not like how we were talking about Nightcrawler, how there's like a whole slew of urinals. There's only two, and there was a gentleman there next to me.
How intimate.
And
Was there a toilet?
Well, there's a toilet, but...
That's for pooping.
Yeah. I know.
And that was shut. I don't know if somebody was in there. I wasn't going to... I just went to the other urinal, and I'm going, and lo and behold, because I guess this was this guy's first time there... Because their urinals are disassembled kegs. Like, they have pieces cut out of them, and you piss into the keg.
Very efficient.
I guess this guy just had to say to me, he's like, oh, pretty interesting urinals here, huh?
Shut your fucking mouth.
I was like...
And you guys are both have your dick in your hands at this point, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Because the floors are sticky, I did not establish dominance.
Oh, so you didn't drop your pants?
I didn't
to the
drop
floor.
Them all the way to the floor. No.
Did you at least squeeze a fart out?
Ew.
I didn't have to.
You didn't push out. You didn't have to.
So in my head, I was shook. Like I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this guy's talking to me.
You were shook.
Yeah, he's paralyzed in fear.
I felt murdered.
Oh my God.
Like as soon as we got out of there, all I could say was a clever retort. I was like, yeah, doesn't look like they're getting their deposit back. You know, because rent kegs and all that sort of stuff. He didn't laugh.
A very highbrow joke.
He didn't laugh. I had to do my old pre-COVID rule of not washing my hands because I ain't staying in there with this weirdo.
I was going to ask if he washed your hands and went bowling afterwards.
Yeah, I could go bowling later. Well, I didn't because we were recording. But I mean, I just felt like I need Captain Benson and Sergeant Tutuola to come and talk to me right now. I feel like I was a victim of... something that's on SVU.
So, Allie, what was he like when he returned to the table?
I mean, he was visibly shook. He was. He had a look on his face, and I was like, what happened?
Was he all red?
No, but he was doing, like, the head shaky thing, and I was like...
No!
What happened?
He is so very clearly a victim.
Because first we had to sit next to, like, these pair of twin dudes with glasses on who had to work, but were doing double shots of Red Bull and vodka.
Because they're bouncers. They
were bouncers?
Yeah.
They looked like Rick Moranis.
Yeah. They were bouncers at Kate's. That's what they were talking about.
Were they tall?
No.
They were little guys?
They were identical. They looked like identical twins. They both had glasses, and they maybe weighed 120 pounds soaking wet. Like,
oh, that's they
were
adorable.
They were annoying. Then these other two bros sat down and started talking about, like, socioeconomic status in Texas. I don't
even know. Yeah, they were like, dude, we should move to Texas because they're going to secede soon. They're going to
see. Yeah.
You know that Texas makes more money than Canada and Mexico combined. And I was like, I'm looking over at her. I'm like, fucking finish signing the check so we can leave. I don't have to fucking listen to this anymore.
There was a baby at the bar. It was an odd.
I love
day.
Bar babies.
Yeah. You know what? Also,
this is like a sitcom episode.
You know what? Also sucks it sucks for people who identify as women at Deer Park. The women's room
doesn't have any urinals in it.
Doesn't have any heat.
Oh yeah, it's funny.
Oh wow.
So I went not this time, but like back in December, I went to the bathroom. I come back and I'm like, it's so cold in the women's room. And the bartender was like, oh yeah, there's no heat in the women's room. I was like, why? He's like, because of the way the building is, like there's no like ventilation over there. I'm like, so you punish the people who have to actually sit down with a cold fucking toilet seat. Thank you. I appreciate that. Like, it's freezing in the women's bathroom.
Wow.
There's no heat in it.
It reminds me of that scene from Showgirls.
Ice them up.
I hover. I try and hover in those places, so I don't put
What's that
my...
look like?
You know who would probably welcome, like, a little bit of cold? A man on fire.
What?
I bet you he would.
Oh, my God. Tammy.
Especially in Mexico.
Yes. Tammy, please tell us what you've picked for my appreciation month.
Well, I think you've already announced it.
I did. I'm sorry.
But it is the 2004 version, so the newest version of Man on Fire.
Yeah, I don't know. Bodyguards got to be close to people. You know, I'm no good at that.
You're the silent type. People are going to appreciate that.
16 years of military experience, extensive counterterrorism work.
What happened to your hand?
It's a birth defect.
No, it's not.
No more questions. That's it. Period. You hear me?
Peter just wants to be friends.
I regret that your profession needs to exist.
So do I, Marjorie.
Did not know this was a remake.
Yes, there was one made in 1987.
And I can't wait to see it later.
That one was based in Italy. So it was more like a mob-based movie. This one is Mexican mafia.
Like the cartels, kind of.
Yeah, cartel. Yeah. Like okay. It's like a kidnapper cartel.
I could see that, too. Okay.
Well, director's Tony Scott, and starring Denzel Washington, Quad Pro Quo alum.
There are two Quad Pro Quo alums in this movie.
Yeah. You want to tell them the other one?
Well, yeah. I mean, I could. I feel like, you know, we all know who I am. Oh, my God.
What movie?
We did Batman Returns.
Batman Returns, yeah.
Oh, that's
Cobblepot?
Right.
Max Schreck.
Schreck.
Oh, right,
Max
right,
Schreck.
Right, 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 right.
Cobblepot was the penguin.
Right.
Christopher Walken.
Yes.
Christopher Walken.
Yes. And then Dakota Fanning.
So friggin'
And
cute.
She's how old
and
in this movie?
Just,
six?
So she's 10 in this movie. Oh. And okay. She just had her 30th birthday, February 23rd.
Oh. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dakota.
We all just collapsed into pillars of dust.
Yes.
Yep.
I know.
It's like, thank you for dating the entire room.
We are old.
No,
she looks great.
She has grown-up teeth now, right?
She does.
Yeah, she grew into her head.
She does not still have her baby teeth.
I mean, unfortunately, because...
Crazy!
The internet back in the day had zero chill, and making fun of a 10-year-old's teeth was...
Oh, that's so
mean.
Not me.
Okay.
Dude, that was do you remember actually, what they said about that Chloe Moretz girl?
Oh, my God.
How she's got square body like Adam Driver?
Do you remember what my dad said about that girl from the...
Oh, yeah, the girl from Bullet Train? He was like, that's a weird-looking girl.
That's a really unattractive child.
Oh,
I believe he called her an unattractive child. I was like, those two words shouldn't go together, Dad.
That's a great point.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the fun facts is that I looked up on IMDb was that they were considering her teeth because she had missing teeth.
Oh, yeah, they were going to put
this role.
They were going to put a flipper in her mouth. Yeah.
A flipper?
A flipper is what they put in, like, little beauty queens' mouths because, like, kids don't have perfect teeth and they usually are missing teeth. But when, like, if you watch, like, those horrible beauty queen, like, shows, they'll put these, like,
perfect teeth.
Fake teeth, and it's called a flipper.
It's like Mrs. Doubtfire.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mrs.
Yeah.
fires.
Yeah. I remember when they did the Frank's Little Beauties on Always Sunny.
Yeah.
Yes.
The one girl, D, put those teeth in.
It's called a flipper.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Temporary veneers.
Yeah, basically. They're very expensive.
This was also a novel based by A.J. Quinnell. So let's go around the room. And what did you think when I chose it? Guido.
Yeah, I saw this and couldn't wait to be sad again. So I was really looking forward to, being bummed out with you when we watched it together.
Okay. Matt?
Yeah, I had seen this before, Of course. I mean, it was one of those things when it came out. You see Denzel Washington walking away slowly looking badass from an explosion.
He winked at one of them.
I mean, I haven't seen it. Honestly, I don't think I've watched it in its entirety since it came out. So because it came out in 2004, you said?
2004.
So yeah, it's been like 20 years since I've seen it. Love Denzel. Love Christopher Walken. And then I was super surprised when we watched it because, call back to SVU, we saw the night before we watched Man on Fire, we watched an SVU episode that had the mom from this movie in it.
Literally the night before we were watching an episode with her in it.
That's probably the only other thing that she's done, right?
No, she's done other stuff.
So were you excited to watch it again?
I really liked it 20 years ago, I'm sure.
Just like taste buds. Stop saying
the number.
Things change.
Denzel.
Dakota Fanning's 30.
Oh, gross.
Mark Antony was married to J-Lo and had kids with her. And,
yes, he did.
And now he's...
Now she's married to the Batfleck.
Yes.
Benafleck?
He's husband number 4.
She was the great white buffalo for him.
Great white whale. White buffalo?
Yeah, it's Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh, I've never seen Hot Tub Time Machine.
Are you fucking kidding
me? Yeah, you guys, one of you should have picked that. At least you know it's John Cusack in it.
Holy shit, dude.
You love Denzel.
You're ready to record that next.
You dropped, you guys dropped the ball on that. So I don't like that movie.
I have never seen this movie. I was excited to watch it. Also, my father loves this movie.
That's so weird because there's literally no water in this
movie. I know. It's the opposite. Oh,
he likes naval movies.
It's the opposite of water. It's fire.
He likes water.
Oh. You know he hates this joke, right? He hates this joke.
Yeah, and...
It's really annoying to him at this point.
Waterworld is a really good movie. So.
Since he totally listens to this podcast, I'm sure he'll get pissed about us doing this joke.
Yeah,
my brother will love it.
I hadn't seen it. My dad loves it. He gave kudos to you for picking it. But I do love Denzel.
Who doesn't?
I don't know.
I basically chose this because, one, you've seen so many things. And
true.
I felt like this was a Denzel movie, especially since Lee loves it. And it's your dad's favorite movie that you really should see it. I didn't think that you would love the whole thing. There's a lot of religion in it. And
I don't care about that.
There's a lot of guns. So I was like, this will probably be a better movie for April for Guido Appreciation Month. But I was like, you know what? She hasn't seen it. She needs to see it.
And you know how thirsty she is for that Denzel dick.
There's no Denzel dick in this, though. So, but that's okay.
No.
Well, you at least see him with his shirt off a few times.
That's not where dicks go.
It is not. But it certainly is nice.
All right. Well, set us on fire.
Did
Tammy?
Did you tell her about the fun fact about Brian Hegland?
I'm sure she hasn't. I'm not gonna say it.
Okay, yeah, if she does.
No,
wait
go for
till
it.
The end.
Do you know that?
Okay, so it was written by Brian Helgeland, who also wrote A Knight's Tale and also wrote Mystic River. And so he got the inspiration to originally adapt this movie back in the late 80s. He went into a video store where Tarantino was working and asked his opinion for a movie to watch, and Tarantino suggested the original Man on Fire.
Okay, so you do have that.
Okay, so that's why I said not to do it.
Well, then we can cut that part.
No. It's fine. But it's cool, right?
It's really cool. Yeah, I read that fact and I was like, this is such a cool fact. Like Tarantino before he was famous. So it's like,
hey,
Brian Helgeland is like an amazing screenwriter. So.
Hey, you should totally watch this movie. It's like one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. There's not a lot of feet in it, but you should totally watch it.
There's no feet, yeah.
Okay.
And Joe Pesci's in it. That was what sold Guido. He's like, oh, Joe Pesci?
I can't wait to see it.
Joe Pesci's not in this movie.
No, the original.
In the 1987 one.
Oh, is he?
Yep.
And Scott Glenn.
Yeah, Scott Glenn's in it too.
You're silly. He's crazy. John Glenn.
Or John Glenn, yeah.
No, it's Scott Glenn.
Alan Shepard.
That's my dad.
That's another joke that your dad won't care for because he won't listen.
And then Guido was like, oh, Kill Bill's in this. Oh, I'm definitely gonna watch it.
No, that's not him.
No.
And then he said, like, wait,
it's David Carradine.
Yes.
Why do these men have the same face?
Why do these old white men look alike?
It was really funny. All right, so it is also a long running time, which is not what we prefer.
But very true.
I also think
feels
that
every minute.
We could have cut out the last hour. Was I think we could have had one less kill scene, maybe two.
I disagree.
And then the relationship between Creasy and PETA, like maybe we could have cut that one short.
See, that's what I did not mind.
I really liked that part too, but just thinking about like the running time and the build amount. Up,
because you need that for his character development, in my opinion.
Yeah. So it starts out where we have like the backstory of what current state Mexico is, and at that time there is a lot of crime going on with cartel, the Mexican mafia, and then they're stealing children and then holding them for ransom in exchange for and they stalk, you know, rich people in the town. They're taking their children for ransom, and then if they don't get the money that they are looking for, then the children disappear. Then we meet Denzel Washington, who, and we also meet Christopher Walken.
Hi.
And Denzel is playing John Creasy.
Oh, so we do find out his first name.
It is John, but they call him Creasy throughout the whole movie.
He's just Creasy.
And Christopher Walken is Ray. They both work together in the CIA and in the military. Ray has retired and remarried a woman and lives in Mexico. And so...
I love Christopher Walken in this movie.
Yeah, I love him too.
He's excellent in it.
And he actually runs a security business now in Mexico. And Denzel's, you know, retired. He's just drunk. He's a drunk. He's a self-admitted drunk. Depressed.
Yeah, he's looking for work. He has no holds bar about that. He's like, I drink.
He's very open about it.
Yeah.
Yes, and so he's like desperate for work, and Christopher Walken kind of gives him a lead, which is with Samuel Ramos's family. Samuel Ramos is a legacy auto empire.
He inherited the business, but then of course now the Japanese companies have moved out and they're like, oh, well, he's trying to get Ford to work with him now.
So he's rich. He's married to Lisa, who is an American woman. Samuel Ramos is played by Mark Anthony.
Famous
skeleton.
He's
more famous to be a singer, but married to Jennifer Lopez and divorced. They have twins.
Third husband.
So
he actually has a condition where he doesn't have any muscle mass. It's just skin stretched over bone.
He is an incredibly tiny person.
And his bone structure is just crazy.
I honestly thought it was actually Doug Jones in makeup.
He looks like Michael Jackson now.
Yeah.
And then Lisa is played by Radha Mitchell. Yeah. And she's an Australian actress. She looks like she's done a couple of scary movies. Pitch Black, Silent Hill.
Yep. Rogue. Pitch Black.
Rogue. Oh, yeah. That's about a killer crocodile.
The Devil Worship.
Yeah.
Devil's Worship.
She was on a recent episode of SVU.
Of course she was.
Of course she was.
You mind if I steal that?
She basically played like a Gwyneth Paltrow type new age influencer who gets like sexually assaulted.
Does she also put crystals up her vagina?
They do show a jade egg at one point.
That's what I'm talking about.
So Sam Ramos is looking for security for his daughter because he actually had a security guard before and they let him go to try and save some money. But now that there's been like four kids each day on average that have been kidnapped within their city, then he's now looking in the market and consulting his attorney, Jordan Kalfos, who's played by Mickey Rourke.
Before his face was super fucked up.
This is in between fucked up face. In between.
He still looks like a human being.
But isn't it also because it's Mexico and like you were saying with all these rampant kidnappings, all these like rich families, they have insurance policies for kidnappings. But Mickey Rourke was sitting there saying like, well, you know, technically your policy is going to lapse if you don't have a bodyguard.
Yeah.
So that's right. Yeah. He does say that. Mickey Rourke is so disgusting. I hate him so much.
Yeah. So he's consulting his attorney on his financials. They're trying to renew his life insurance policies. And I guess he's at high risk the insurance policy may be denied because he doesn't have adequate security on his family. So
bizarre.
He's like, you don't have to get like the top of the line security guard. you can get like the base model security guard,
the old drunk washout.
Yeah. You don't need the LX package.
No, yeah, exactly. No.
Yeah, you don't need the Liam Neeson CIA agent. You just get the burned out drunk Denzel one.
How is drunk Denzel not top tier? I don't understand.
Because, like I just said, sober Liam Neeson is the top tier.
Oh, right. Well, I don't know. That lady still got taken, dude. So yeah, there's been three. They keep taking them.
They keep taking them.
But he keeps getting them back every time.
That's what drove me nuts about that series. How many times can you get taken?
Do you remember that Ransom movie with Mel Gibson?
Yeah. Give me back my fucking son. That's right.
You're my child.
Gary Sinise.
Different movie.
Gary Sinise. Rene Russo.
That's right. That's right.
Ron Howard movie.
Yes.
Amazing.
Or like, how many times does Matt Damon get left behind somewhere and they got to go, they got to get him.
The print more money. It's worth it. Get Matt Damon back. He is he's a treasure.
He's a treasure.
Worth every dollar.
So Sam brings Creasy back to the house because his wife has to bless the security guard before he can be introduced to their daughter. So Lisa meets him. She is blonde,
you're American.
Basically, they portray her to be this like really high maintenance person.
That accent slips in and out too. I don't know what accent she's trying to be, but she keeps, every time she says Bible, it's Bible. Then it slips out.
Remember, she's supposed to be from Texas.
Is she supposed to be from Texas?
Really?
Okay. Do they say
Why did I not? I didn't pick that up.
I mean, you hear a southern drawl every now and then, but I'm like, I feel like that's when she remembers to act. Yes.
Yeah. They're like, you know, it's that story, you know, that romance across the border. So
she keeps code switching.
I love this house.
And plus, this house is so amazing.
It's so stunning.
Plus, I'm pretty sure you see her in cowboy boots a few times, so that's just a clear indicator of Texas.
You don't see her in much for quite a bit of the movie.
Yeah, I like the Catholic Muerte room.
I know that, but I love like the ornateness, but for some reason when it's like Mexico or like Latin America, it really, really works. When it's, no offense, Guido, when it's Italy, it looks like trash.
The terracotta and the roof.
The beautiful,
it's gorgeous.
In your defense, the reason why it looks like trash in Italy is because they use a different sepia tone in the cinematography. In Mexico, it's a lighter one, so it looks a little bit nicer.
Yeah, but
you gotta add 30 jump cuts, so
dizzy by the end.
So he meets Lupita, also known as Peeta, Dakota Fanning, and she's a very cute, you know, warm, friendly little girl. She's not unfamiliar to having a security guard because she had one before. And she actually hasn't gone to school for some time. We don't know how long, but now since she has a bodyguard, that was the big excitement, is that she could go back to school and resume a lot of her normal activities. They're definitely keeping up with the Joneses. She has swimming. She plays piano. So they're trying to like raise this very like private school, upper echelon type of family, and definitely like keeping up with all of the other rich societal people in Mexico.
Would it be Joneses down there, or would it be like Juarez's?
I was gonna say like
Barnaby Jones,
Joneses.
That's fair.
We are jeeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah, something like that.
So he actually gets his own house, like his own extra suite.
It's a casita.
A casita.
Yeah, because
like Gina from Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yeah, because he's above the garage.
I feel like it's a whole structure.
It is. Yeah, it's beautiful.
It has like its own little courtyard in the middle. Because like later, Peeta and Creasy have like conversations from their balconies
from across
each other.
And he's very cold with her. He's like, I'm here to do a job. I can't believe I'm a babysitter, basically. But my job is to protect you.
Yeah, not to be your friend.
Not to be your friend. I don't like questions.
Can't care about people.
And he even tells Sam, the dad, he's like, I drink. And
how
he's
does that
like,
affect
okay,
you?
Well, just let us know what you like to drink. And then, so he's not like telling him not to.
Please drink a bottle of Jack Daniels before you take care of my 10-year-old.
Yeah.
But also,
no,
like,
one's doing inventory
on
these.
I'm just checking a box to make sure that I can get this life insurance policy.
Mickey Rourke was like, yeah, you have him there, you check the box, and then you cut him loose a few days
later.
But
I feel like the wife, As soon as he came in and she offered him a drink and he immediately said, Jack, straight. And she was like, I think it's his eyes. I trust him. And it's like, there's okay. There's a sadness there. Okay. You seem like, even though you're kind of, I don't know how they're trying to portray her in this movie.
Yeah, it's like, everything's she's a very strange character.
It's a very strange character to me. I feel like she's a good mom. She cares about her child. And the fact that, like, he comes in and immediately asks for, like, Jack Daniels would, for me, be like, I meant, like, water. Did you want water? Like, that's what I meant. I don't know.
Also, she's from Texas. Y'all know that they don't care about, you know, nipping, having a quick snifter or something.
But the thing is, he honestly isn't looking for work. He's not.
He's looking for money.
He needs money.
Does he need money?
I think he's looking for a way to die.
And Christopher Walken sees that all he actually needs is a reason. Like, he needs something to live for.
He basically admits to Ray, Christopher Walken, that he has nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
And when they meet, you know, that first scene, he's like, I'm coming here because there's literally nothing left for me in where I was. Like, you're my only friend left. No one wants me.
But then also, because he was, like, super depressed, he's like, you think God will forgive us for what we did?
He's got a lot of demons.
But one of the issues that I have with this movie is that the characters are not fully fleshed out. And, like, I feel like they keep alluding to something that happened in Denzel's past, but we never get an explanation for it. I was expecting, like, what's going to happen in the Guido pick, that he had a child that died or something like that. Or his wife was killed. Something that would indicate his heavy drinking problem and all these demons he has in his past. But we don't get any indication of any of that.
I just think it's PTSD just from his whole career.
But we don't get an actual explanation or anything of it.
So I will tell you.
They do kind of do, though. I'm sorry. You go.
They show you his resume, which is pages long. And mind you, you know, as the first time viewer, I'm sure you're not really perusing his resume, but it does go over how much of a decorated Marine officer he is.
And like, except for that one time where he pulled over a school bus and then he boarded that school bus and then all those kids beat the shit out of him right out the back of the school bus.
I think that's a different movie.
What movie was that?
That's Super Troopers.
Right.
Yeah, no.
And even the reporter says it, like, Panama, like, Lebanon, and, like, all that stuff. Like, I get it that he has this, like, past.
Christopher Walken was just like, he kills people. He's an artist, and death is his work.
I know. Mm. I just feel like there wasn't enough of a reason, in my opinion.
You wish that you saw more, because between what we just kind of described, and then the next day, we're already seeing him try to commit suicide.
Yes, it's very, like, it's just, there's no, you spend all this time, because it's a long movie, like, I don't need a full backstory of the character. It's one line of dialogue, like, oh, he hasn't been the same since he shot that kid. There you go. Done.
Why do you need all these kids to die?
I'm just saying, it's a Die Hard scenario, it's a whatever scenario.
Or again, it's just PTSD from just his job.
I know, but
I mean,
why? Again, they didn't.
He's no shivering soldier. Okay.
I don't.
We picked him up on a propeller while we were evacuating Dunkirk. He hasn't been the same since. Okay, there, done. It's not line of dialogue. I just needed a tiny little bit more.
He hasn't been the same since his ice cream cone fell on the ground.
The worst.
That is rough.
So he gets in there. He basically spends the weekend getting shit-faced shenanigans, playing with his guns, and getting ready for Monday's school. And then Monday.
And the bird.
Rid of the bird.
Fucking bird bit him.
Well, he hated that bird. It was bird sucked. Annoying.
Probably made a ton of noise. Birds make so much noise. If you don't cover their cage.
The previous security guard had a bird that he left there. So Creasy inherited the bird and he was like, fuck this bird. So he let it go out of the window. So the next day, Creasy's beginning to learn their route, their day-to-day operations, where everything is, how to drive through the town in this new traffic pattern. And then just really keeping an eye out for different cars and suspicious activity around and learning all of the rules. So this is where we really see like how she's trying to get to know him and he's being a shithead. And just putting her down. So she actually gets out of the car and goes into the back seat because he's being such a prick.
Well, you straight up told her, I am a bodyguard. I'm not here to be your friend.
That broke my heart a little bit. I was like, oh.
She was like, fine.
And then, even when the mom came and was like, Pete just wants to be. He's like, I don't want to be your friend. I'm here to make sure that she's safe.
I mean, it's true.
But that you can have a pleasant time.
You be cordial. You don't have to be an asshole.
Speaking of friends, we're going to take a break and learn about one of our friends, one of the other podcasts that are part of the Deluxe Edition Network. We will be right back.
Hey.
Hey, man, what's your bacon?
You got to tell everybody what that means first.
It's that extra side topping a main course in life that makes everything about your day even better.
Whether it's movies, music, cooking, paranormal, video games, whatever it is that helps you unwind, maybe even get a little bit inspired. We talk to hot new bands.
We are Felicity.
And this is Bradley from Amorosa.
TV personalities.
Hi, my name is Rachel Pizzolatto.
Hi, my name is Patty Makeley.
Wrestling personalities.
Mm. Hi, everybody. I am Eric Bischoff.
WWE Hall of Fame Godfather.
Actors.
This is Sean Kanan. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, podcasters.
Emo Social Club.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Schrader.
Pretty much any like-minded creative across all facets of the entertainment industry.
You can check out Bacon Is My Podcast on all streaming platforms, as well as the Strangerhood TV YouTube channel. New episodes dropping every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Listen in when we find the answer to the question,
what's your bacon?
Hey, and we're back. To Man on Fire.
and me. So
Khaleesi
gets home from his, you know, second day. He's getting, again, drunk and reliving all of his past traumas. He's looking at his current situation. He sees PETA looking at him while he's standing in the middle of the courtyard in the rain in despair. He goes up to his room, puts a bullet in the chamber, and puts the gun to his head and pulls the trigger. Nothing happens.
It must be a Ruger, but it's not. It's a Glock.
And he's like, well, shit, that never happens. I guess this bullet wasn't for me.
Got a dent in the primer.
He calls Christopher Walken. He's like, it happens sometimes. It's the primer. It's wrong. It's no good.
Just take a blue pill.
So he starts reading his Bible more. He stops drinking as much. And he starts putting his head in the game. And he's making an effort with PETA. The parents go away for a business trip. And he starts working with her on her swimming.
Probably one of my favorite scenes. I just love, it's so natural, the relationship between them. I always knew she was like a really talented child actor. But like, it's above in this movie. Like, she's just so effortless. The chemistry between them, the cute little like banter, the when he's like, yeah, louder, louder. And she's like about like the not being a prisoner to the gunshot and everything like that. It's just so good.
And he's such a good coach too.
And he's so sweet with
her.
He's
like this. Yeah. It's trained or untrained?
Untrained.
What are you?
It.
Trained.
She's so adorable.
Oh yeah, she's
and
like
smart.
She's like a little kid, Meryl Streep.
Yeah, she really is.
She was fucking. I mean, she's still a great actress, but
she really is, and she's so well adjusted. She's one of the most well adjusted child actors I've ever seen. Her and her sister. So.
Yes. So she and he were the very first scene that they shot together was actually the scene that she's taken.
Oh.
Just so you know.
Wow.
Yeah. So it only got happy from there. Which is kind of nice.
That's good.
And then...
So it's kind of like when Kubrick filmed The Shining and
yes.
and Danny didn't know he was in a horror movie.
When
they made E.T., they filmed it from start to finish. Spielberg wanted to do it that way so that the kids... They weren't filming like the scene where E.T. dies and then filming the beginning where E.T.'s alive because he didn't want to confuse the children and be like, why are we doing this? Like, it didn't make sense. So that movie is filmed in sequential order, basically.
Mm. It's very strategic.
It's very strategic when you're working with children. It's the way you should do it.
Wait, yeah. What are those real emotions?
Real emotions, yes. Yes.
And this wasn't her first movie, so.
No.
And then the scene with her doing her homework with Creasy, and she asks him what a concubine is. That was ad-libbed. So he trains her, and she wins the big swim meet with training.
With a great,
she does a very good job.
With a great montage beforehand, where like they're in their pool, and like the groundskeeper and the
I love it.
All like, yeah, underlay.
Yes.
Ay-ay-ay.
All right.
Oh, it's such a good moment.
We don't need to be like Speedy Gonzalez.
Arriba! Arriba! Arriba!
What about Speedy Gonzalez's like drunk cousin? Like, he's the slow-mo.
I'm so sleepy.
So sleepy.
The one of the sisters that is working at her school, her Catholic school, she actually tells Creasy that he is her father figure now. And that kind of like...
My God, when she jumps into his arms, I can't.
Oh, it was I so was
on the
beautiful.
Bridge.
You kept saying how sad, 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 sad. And I was like, these are the parts that I was crying at. I was crying at like the adorable little like them getting to know each other and him finally caring about her. I was like...
I liked how that nun went a total 180 on him.
She did.
She was like, you need to read the Bible.
Again, we don't need the impersonations.
No, please continue.
And he was like, I have read the Bible, bitch. Is that what he said?
That's what he said. He doesn't. He just gives her.
No. Let him cook.
She calls Mother Superior a bitch. He does school her. She was like,
was like, you're not this part of the book. And he was like, yeah, Romans 21:22. They, even though I walk through the valley of death, stop I shall fear
him,
no evil.
Stop making him.
Because I am the Lord.
Shaft and the character.
I like this version better.
Jesus Christ.
So then Creasy introduces PETA to his family.
Hey!
And brings him to a party with Ray, Ray's wife, and I don't think that's his kid. But who knows? Maybe it is.
Is there a kid?
The wife has a child because they were sleeping all together in the
same
bed.
Oh, I think it's his kid.
So PETA gives Creasy a present. It's a little bear. And then inside the bear is...
St. Jude,
the patron saint of lost souls.
Lost causes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's when he decides to quit drinking altogether.
That's great.
Yeah, he has like a total like montage of sobering up.
Well, drinking an entire bottle of Jack-a-Night is a commitment.
And
now he shakes a bunch.
I'm sure, yeah.
Oh, stop.
Well, it wouldn't go away right away. I'm sure he would shake for a while.
It's got the DTs, man.
Well, they didn't feature that in this movie.
They did not.
In that 2-hour and 26-minute runtime.
The only thing they didn't feature.
It's implied.
Did not feature.
It's implied.
Yeah, they implied.
Through the camera.
Exactly.
And all the goddamn jump cuts and yellow-tinged bullshit that we had to watch.
Oh, so true.
All right, so now we're going to get into the heavy shit. We're about an hour and a half in.
An hour and a half.
It feels that way.
Nope. Well, it feels like it's been an hour and a half. I feel like it's only been... I literally stopped it to go check my email, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yep. So there's
It's only been 45 minutes.
Yeah. It's so the hour left is all badassery. So PETA has piano lessons. Creasy drives her to the piano teacher, and he says, una hora. 1 hour. So he's outside. Her parents got her a dog. They named it Sammy, also after the dad.
Apparently Hagar.
But the little girl in the 1987 movie that was taken, her name is Samantha. So it was a nod to that.
Oh, hey.
There's your little Easter egg.
A dog should not be off leash.
No, it shouldn't.
Just putting that out there.
So Creasy's sitting on the park bench, and he notices that there are policemen who are blocking the street that they're on. And so heightened awareness.
See.
He puts the dog back in the car, and then he actually sees a car that he recognized and thought that the car was following him to drop PETA off at school one time. And so sees that Cadillac. PETA comes out of piano lessons, and Creasy's looking around, and he sees these guys getting out of the car. And one shot is fired at Creasy. He yells at PETA to run. More shots are fired between the police officers and the people in the car, and PETA, and just the raw emotion on her face. Like, she just did the most incredible job.
She really did.
In this scene. And Creasy's really hurt. He got shot several times. He's lying on the ground. She runs to his side, and then he just passes out and wakes up in the hospital and finds out that she has been taken.
No vest.
Yeah, he watches her get taken.
He's
like, still
you would think,
he's in and out of consciousness.
But no vest. But,
You would think, as a bodyguard, you would be like, maybe I should wear something that would protect me from bullets while I'm protecting this person.
Like, he doesn't think anything's going to happen? Because, like, I just feel like a vest would just be something he would wear on a daily basis.
But also,
he just quit drinking.
You know,
self-preservation isn't full speed yet.
What's going to happen later, and still no vest.
Yeah. And
he does wear a vest eventually.
No, he does not.
Yeah, he does.
No, he doesn't.
I'm sorry.
Those are bandages wrapped on him.
Yeah.
It's he Those does are not boobers. Wear he does not wear a bullet.
Because of what happens in the end, he was not wearing a vest.
So we're put to a different scene where it's like a press conference with the police. And it's a big to-do because Creasy shot some cops.
Yeah, they're blaming him.
They're blaming him.
So corrupt.
For the whole thing. And we've got two characters in particular. Gail, who's played by Giancarlo Giannini.
I love this guy.
And he is, oh my gosh, he's in so many things.
Yeah,
Casino Royale.
Yeah, he's a Scott bro.
He's in Hannibal.
He's in Hannibal, yeah, which is directed by Ridley Scott. He's in the James Bonds with Daniel Craig.
And then we have another, like a reporter, and her name is Mariana Garcia, and she's played by Rachel Ticotin.
She will come up later in the...
She was in Total Recall. She's a Quad Pro Quo alum.
She will be a Quad Pro Quo.
She's in Con Air.
She is in Con Air! She is probably once we record our next episode, she will be a thrice quad pro.
Yeah, she'll be she'll be the first one.
Yep.
Way to go, Rachel Ticotin.
Way to go.
Oh, she's
write that down for you.
She's
later.
The guard that Johnny 23 tries to rape.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Ew. Exact.
So they basically don't believe the police because they've got other reasons to think that there's something going on within the city and that the cops are corrupt and they're involved in all of the criminal activity.
Yeah, I mean, she's been a reporter in Mexico City for who knows how long, so she's dealt with, like, all that crap.
Yeah, she knows all about, like, the secret organization that's behind this, the La Hermandad.
Something like that, yeah.
And, like...
La Hermandad.
Which means the Brotherhood
in Spanish. So, like, literally... She's got it all figured out. She just wants to put something in there to actually get something done.
Like,
and fuck it up.
Expose it, yeah.
Not just expose it, but, like, fucking bring it down.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And she's got someone. It's fucking Creasy Bear.
And she found some tapes. Aww, Creasy Bear. And there's shit on those tapes.
Your shit.
And she's going to call Osborne Cox about it.
Better.
Your shit
ever.
Is secure.
I'm
what,
back.
What is that in fuckers? What is that in Spanish? Estoy shit es seguro.
You guys are bad.
Oh no, it's estoy mierda es seguro. Like,
so now we get into the vengeance of the story.
Yes!
So Creasy is moved from the hospital to a remote location because he's in direct danger because he shot a cop. And
corrupt ones. Corrupt ones.
He killed two
the corrupt
of them.
Ones. Corrupt ones.
Bad
very,
guys.
Very corrupt
and
ones.
So the FBI guy moves him to protect him.
Well, you said it yourself, dude. She kidnapped herself.
And then at the house, at the Ramos house, there's tons of cop and they collect the ransom from the voice. So the voice is the bad guy in this movie. He's the one that's the ringleader, basically, in charge of all of the kidnappings. He calls on the phone. He tells them the plan. And then Mark Anthony is involved in the drop-off. What was it? $10
million?
$10 million.
Five
million,
in one bag, five in another bag.
And then he has to deliver it, like, with no shirt on, and he has to put it in, like, the trunk of a white car.
Yeah, they have this. They have this.
And then they're going
to around
come.
A circle.
Yeah,
it's all very elaborate.
It's a very crazy thing that they have down to a T.
I thought the voice was Madonna's baby daddy, but it wasn't.
I really liked hearing his voice.
Yes, I agree.
He Part had a very sexy kind of, like, calming.
But
evil,
also the, like,
cunning voice.
The whole time you see him, like, playing with his children. Like, it's very, like, this, like, dichotomy between, like, him asking for ransom for kidnapping a child and him playing with his own children.
When we first saw him, like, his silhouette and all that, and then even after we saw the picture of him, I thought it was the guy from True Lies.
The racially ambiguous guy?
No, no, no. The one that's, like, friends with George Clooney, the cameraman.
Yeah, no.
I thought it was really nice of Mark Anthony
Grant
to
Heslov, yeah.
take some time off from Tales from the Crypt so he could
be
in this movie.
Mark Anthony.
What are you talking about? If
Don't
anybody,
say poor Mark Anthony. He's a terrible person.
If anybody,
is he really?
If
oh,
anybody,
in this movie he is.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
If anybody is the Crypt Keeper, it's fucking Mickey Rourke, dude.
Ugh.
Yes.
Mickey Rourke's got, he's got some muscle mass. He's been cultivating mass.
He's been cultivating mass and cultivating collagen all in his fucking face.
Oof.
So Creasy vows to PETA's mom, Lisa, that he is going to find the fuckers that kidnapped her. During the exchange of money, somebody intercepted the money.
Mm.
And they killed the voice's nephew.
Yes.
And so since he is very, he's all about being even, a life for a life. So
family.
He told Lisa and Sam that she's gone.
Oh yeah, he said meaning she's dead.
PETA is dead. It's too late. Lisa is distraught and she's
She says,
I vow that I will get everyone that was involved in this situation.
She smacks the shit out of all those people.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, she smacks the shit out of Fat Cop.
I hate that cop.
So that cop is an important character.
Raul. Please. Yes, I knew it.
I think.
Raul Esparza.
There's Rafael an exchange Barba. Between him and Mickey Rourke's character. Mickey Rourke says, you know, we don't need the cops investigating in this case. We're going to take care of
We're
going to do it ourselves. And private. He's like, Raul says, no, there's cops involved. We have to be involved. So Creasy goes and figures out, he finds the guy that was driving the car that picked PETA up.
Oh.
Fucking tortures that asshole. Burns his fingers off.
Is this the finger thing?
He tapes the guy's fingers to the steering wheel.
Cuts them off.
Cuts them off and then asks burns them with the cigarette lighter.
Carterizes them with the cigarette lighter. After each question,
he just cuts a finger
off.
And
then just fucking kills him. Gives him a cigarette first, which I think is very nice.
I guess. I fucking loved watching this with Allie. You know, this is...
Oh, God.
I do...
No, this is Miss I love horror movies.
I do.
Let's look at all the gore porn and all this, and I'll watch somebody get their head cut off.
Started filming Terrifier 3.
I'll watch somebody get their head cut off in a horror movie. But she's sitting there watching this going, oh my God.
Just because I like it doesn't mean I'm not shocked when they cut off. Because I thought he was snapping them off.
In front of my salad?
In front of my salad. I thought he was snapping them off. And then like the carterization with the thing, I was like, and then the ear, he cuts part of his ear.
Well, you don't want him to bleed out too fast.
For me, I was kind of more disturbed about it because how I remembered it from the first time I originally watched it, I thought he was using like shears. But no, he was just using a knife and just going,
because also I never understand the whole like, I don't know. Look, he's going to kill you or they're going to kill you. Someone's going to kill you. So you might as well just pick the one that's going to kill you faster. Tell him what he needs to know and then he'll just shoot you in the head. The cartel's going to do worse to you. So just pick the pile of shit that smells the least bad. Like, I never understood the whole like, I will not tell you the information. Calm down.
The organization is like split up into three different groups.
It's the Guardians.
It's the kidnappers, the Guardians, and the other... like the voice or the bosses or whatever.
Yeah.
So he's moving up the food chain, right?
Yep.
Right.
So the next, the Guardians, so then he finds the butcher, and the butcher is at the club.
Yeah, he's the bouncer at that club.
This reminded me of like that scene from John Wick or like any scene from a movie like this where they go to a club.
Bow, wow.
But yeah. He looks really cool in this, too.
He looks like... he stands out like a sore thumb.
Because
like
he's black?
I said to him...
he's wearing a do-rag. I mean, come on.
I said to Matt, it's like that meme that people pass around with Steve Buscemi.
Hello,
fellow kids.
How do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah, like he just doesn't look...
Denzel, you're going clubbing. What do you think you should wear?
I love Denzel, but he does... it's like that one time on SVU like, where they put Ice T like into a rave, and they put Olivia Benson in a crop top with pigtails, and it was like, Olivia, you don't look 20. I'm sorry.
They're like, you're going to a club, Denzel. How are you going to dress? I'm going to dress like a motherfucker from NWA.
Yes. You do realize NWA
has been disbanded for 20 years by now, right?
You know, he got a description of what the butcher looks like. He has like a mark on his face. Then he puts him at gunpoint and tells him to like bring him back. He shoots and kills a bunch of people on the way. Mm-hmm. And then they found Jewish New Jersey guy.
I was about to say, where's that one guardian from, huh?
Yeah, he's got this like really curly hair. He's white. He's back there and he's able to tell them.
You were probably like, I know him. I know where he's from.
No, I fucking know that guy.
I love New Jersey.
So then he says that the guy's name is Fuentes. It's not Raul, the cop. He is a crooked cop, and he's the one that intercepted the money.
The big cop.
The big fat cop that Lisa smacks in the face with the mustache.
He's not just a cop. He's like the head of the kidnapping part of like the Mexican police department.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And they even said that he has a bigger security detail than the president.
Yes.
Yeah, he has like an armored vehicle and he's got security in front of him and security in back of him.
He intercepted the money.
Correct.
Okay.
So he intercepted and took the $5 million.
One of the bags.
And then really he is the reason why the nephew was shot and killed. So then there was a woman back there, and there was also a woman that was that woman was also taking care of a teenage girl
that was just kidnapped,
and Creasy was able to turn her over to the reporter and the cop, and he's finding bits and pieces of clues, so it's not just like information, but he's using the FBI agent and the reporter to help get all of this information. So then he's dressed again, sticking out like a sore thumb.
He's carrying, dressed to the nines.
He's dressed in a full suit in Mexico.
It's not well fitted either.
And he's carrying a duffel bag.
For sure.
Is it full of guns?
It's full of weapons.
Oh, thank goodness.
Wow, both of your movies have duffel bags full of guns.
It's a dream of mine.
So then
and people shooting rocket launchers.
Yeah, he scopes out the street. And he goes and breaks into this little old couple's house, and he shoots, what is that, a bazooka?
That's an RPG, and he's doing something I've always wanted to do, except I want to stand up through my sunroof in my car in traffic and just shoot it into an intersection.
Oh yeah, my God.
I like how the little...
We're all joking on this podcast. Please don't come for us.
I'm not. Give me an RPG. See what happens.
Stop.
He shoots the car in front of Fuente's car.
Yes. Okay.
And then he sets Fuente's car on fire.
Yes. And then he takes Fuente's.
Oh.
And then Fuentes wakes up. He's basically naked with his underwear on. His hands are duct taped to the hood of the car. He has that
nice sweater on, too.
Don't tempt me with a good time. Yeah, he is the hairiest person.
He's very hairy.
So very sweaty because he's got Mexico,
the spiciest butt plug there is.
Hot. Ew.
And Fuentes is like, you know, I can have you killed in 5 seconds. Like, I'm a very big, important person.
You're very big, yes.
And Creasy says... he shows him a couple of objects, which I really like the scene because he kind of like...
It is good.
He puts the objects in front of his duct tape. His body's duct taped to the car and he can't move, but he has all these objects. He's like, this is a bomb.
This is C4.
Yes.
And I'm he's sure like, he can get this that. Is a plastic tube that criminals stick up their ass to hide things from people. This is in your ass.
Oh my God.
And it's full of a bomb.
C4. Plastic explosive.
When we were watching it earlier in the movie, he made a joke about sticking something up someone's butt. And I was like, what? That's stupid. And then we got to the scene and I was like, oh, you were talking about this scene.
I was foreshadowing.
You were foreshadowing the butt play.
Yes.
I know, you know.
Usually you have to pay extra for that.
Do you think he spit on it before he put it in?
No. Why would you make it comfortable? I think I did see
Sergi Lube. I'm sure he feels it in there.
Well, he definitely feels it in there.
But I do like how just, you know, Denzel...
Is it actually in there, though?
Denzel...
He probably put a few gentleman stitches in there.
I don't really
think
there's anything in there. No. I think he's just saying
it. It's just an actor.
No,
it's...
No, the car. It's the car. Yeah, I don't really... I think it's just a threat. It's just like a...
I think he put it up there.
You do?
He had the gloves on!
Yeah, but it's all an act. It's all like a performance. Gloves on! It's all a performance.
They were white gloves, and two of those fingers were brown!
No, they weren't.
Do you remember The Punisher, where he strung that guy up and he opens up the torch and then he presses a popsicle into this guy's back so he thinks it's a torch.
Remember in that Bandits movie where they robbed the bank with the highlighter? Like, I mean, you know.
Oh, that's right.
Do you think like he got a running start with the bomb? Or
I just think the bomb's in the car. I don't think it's in his butthole.
I think it's in his butthole.
So then
the bomb is in his butthole.
Okay.
Fuentes
title of the episode. The bomb is in his butthole. Okay, or the butthole bomb.
So Fuentes does admit that, you know, they did intercept the ransom. However, one of the bags was full of paper money. And the other bag was with real money. Then we find out that the lawyer was in on it. And the money was put into his car. Fuentes found out that Jordan Kalfas, Sam's attorney,
bum, bum, bum,
took one of the bags of money.
What a twist!
2.5, and 2.5 is what, Matt?
5.
So, and then Fuentes is a dickhole, and he says, sorry about the girl, and the car explodes.
His butt explodes.
So, yeah, his butt explodes.
His butt explosion.
His butt explodes.
It's open to interpretation.
Apparently.
So then Creasy goes to Jordan's house and he gets the rest of the story.
But he's dead, isn't he?
Yeah, he yes. is dead.
He's in a pool missing a head.
Yeah, somebody cut his head off with a...
with his own samurai sword somebody, that he got at a mall.
Somebody committed seppuku for him.
But that's when he put the whole story together that the attorney and Sam Ramos were all in on it.
Motherfucker.
So
it was a double cross.
So then Creasy goes back to the Ramos house and Sam is in his prayer room.
Creepy.
And Lisa walks in and he makes Sam tell Lisa the whole story.
Orchestrated your daughter's kidnapping.
But he wanted to try and establish whether or not Lisa was also in on it as well.
Yeah, he wasn't sure.
If he thought that
not smart enough.
If he thought that both of them were in on it, he would have killed them both.
He says, you know, I didn't inherit a fortune. I inherited my dad's debt. And so he did this for them is what he says. So they actually put like $10 million in the bag and that they stole back so that they can get an additional $5 million or something.
Yeah, because they
from the bank because it was insured.
Yeah, they had the policy. That's how they were paying for it. 2.5 went to Button Cop.
I was confused by this.
There's a lot of math. $5 million.
2.5 went to Butt Cop. 2.5 went to Mickey Rourke. And Mark Antony got the other five. They didn't give any money to the kidnappers at all.
And then they're like, oh, PETA was supposed to sit in a room with ice cream and just be cool. I've had this all planned out. And she was supposed to be safe and they lied to me. They lied to me.
What a dipshit.
Yeah, he's a fucking asshole.
He sucks. You know?
I see why J-Lo left him.
Yes.
So Creasy gives him the bullet that wasn't intended for him.
Yeah, it has a dented primer. It's been fired once before.
I don't know
it's
what that special means. So
it's, it usually means bad ammo or you have a divine interaction.
Well, it worked for Mark.
Well,
he is in his prayer room.
He kills himself.
He kills himself.
He worships the angel of death. Apparently.
Although we didn't see it on screen. Just putting that out there.
Yeah, he does come back at the end and says, "Surprise, motherfuckers!"
So Creasy is now ready. He's got all of the information that he needs to go and track down the voice. He kidnaps the voice's brother, and then he also gets voice's wife.
I just think it's a pregnant girlfriend. I don't think it's his wife.
Well,
it's a baby mama.
It's a Spanish broodmare. Yeah.
It's his woman.
It's a
and
lot
so
of kids.
She calls the voice and he's like, I got your brother and I will fucking kill him. And he's like, do you want the girl? And this is the point where we're like, oh my gosh, she's alive.
Wait, what?
Because the whole time we thought that she was dead.
I didn't. I always knew she was alive. Because then what's the point of the movie?
This brother is not, like, this is a high-stakes situation. Because Creasy's shooting off the brother's hand, basically. And he's like, I want you. Daniel calls him back and he's like, a life for a life. My brother for your life.
And Creasy's been shot at this point.
When he was going after the brother, he did get
he
shot.
He got shot. Like, right in a fucking lung.
Because he's wearing, like...
Oh, where he's wearing the armor. He's wearing the vest.
He's not.
He's not wearing a vest.
He gets
you
shot.
You see blood. He was wearing a blue and white LA Dodger
Well, he didn't
jacket.
Look like it affected him too much.
Because he's all...
Honey, he was actively dying.
Yeah.
The last 10-15 minutes.
We know what happens at the end, so it did affect him.
He's got a hell of a leap.
He's just running on adrenaline and shock.
I think it's just he's running off the end goal of getting PETA back. So
he calls Lisa and he tells her to meet at the spot. He gives her a gun and tells her to, you know, let the brother go out of the car once PETA comes into her reach. And he starts walking towards the voice's men. She lets the brother go, and then we see Creasy get into the car and drive away with the voice's men, and that's basically the end of the movie.
Creasy, born date, dead date, and then this other character was killed during the...
Yeah, because Federale, the Mexican federal agent guy, find out who the voice is, they know who he is and all that.
Oh, and they kill him,
and
trying to capture him.
He shoots him, but then says, oh yeah, in a bus gone bad.
He was killed in the siege, yeah.
So the budget for this movie was $70 million, and it grossed $130 million worldwide.
Very good.
That's
not bad.
They had 11,000 extras that they hired for this movie.
It's oh, yeah, because the club scene alone.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And 70 actors additionally from Mexico. Creasy could have been played by Russell Crowe.
Yeah, I see that.
Okay.
That's another Scott bro.
Another Scott
yeah.
person. Yeah.
I would watch that as well.
It, like, you said it when we were watching it.
Oh, yeah. Guido said it when we were talking about it, too.
It's
it
was very like
the Gladiator music? Yeah. Like, what do you mean very? It's the same it's fucking the same score.
He's literally sitting there bleeding out in the back of the car, and you hear the whole, like, Maximus, Decimus, Meridius yeah. music.
Yeah, I got goosebumps. You didn't know this
and
movie.
They actually are in a Ridley Scott movie a little oh, yeah. later together.
American Gangster.
American
yeah.
Gangster.
Yeah. Very
I thought
good
I was watching
movie.
That before you guys came over.
Very good movie.
Ray could have been played by Marlon Brando.
Yep.
That guy's yeah. still alive?
No, not anymore.
No, in 2004.
He was alive in 2004?
Can you imagine that giant man trying to walk around Mexico?
No. He would not have been as
He actually
funny
has
either.
A special can suit you, where he doesn't use his legs. He just floats.
Can you imagine a movie that starred Mickey Rourke and Marlon Brando?
No.
This is my
If it was made in Italy.
This is my friend Creasy. I'm going to have him watch you as a bodyguard.
Because I know Denzel and Mickey Rourke didn't get along. There's no way anyone would have gotten along with Marlon Brando.
No,
that was
yeah.
awful.
They just look like somebody so, poured overnight oats into a Ziploc bag.
It's so hot here.
I said it to Matt. I was like, I've never seen a person, Mickey Rourke, be so okay with the dumpster fire that is their career and literally not give a fuck about it. Like, he gives no fucks about how he blew up his career and is literally like, ooh. Okay. And blew up his face. Like, that face is
Well, he wanted
awful.
To be a boxer.
But then he also still has this
But he's also an asshole.
Yeah, because he has this sense of... he has
entitlement.
This, yeah, this ego. He still thinks he's the hot shit.
I mean, what he looked like in the 80s, ugh. And he had the career in the 80s. And then, it's okay if you want to be a boxer, fine. But the ego is out of control. Like, and the fact that he doesn't care that, like, no one likes him and no one wants to work with him, he does not give a shit. I love it. And hate it all at the same time.
Gotta respect it. Gotta respect it.
No.
Mm. Yep.
All right, so let's go around the room. Pass, fail. We'll start with Guido again.
I passed the ultra-violent, sad movie. I really liked it, but it was really fucking sad as shit.
Okay. Yeah, it was. It was absolutely sad. It was terrible.
Yeah, so not really something that I would put in front of my eyes on purpose because it was so sad. And it's not a happy ending. He definitely fucking dies in the car on the way to wherever those cartel people are
going to cut his head off.
He dies seconds after they shut the door. And with that, I pass it.
Matt.
You know, like I said, I really enjoyed watching this movie 20 years ago. And then I watched it again now. And, like, I just have, like, more of a thing, like, you know, more of a critical eye for movies and stuff. I had a lot of issues with this movie. A, it was too fucking long. B, Tony Scott and Ridley Scott need to just know how to end a movie. And also, they need to learn how to handle their fucking jump cuts, their fucking pans, their fucking shot to and their everything. But, goddamn, Denzel Washington is literally the greatest actor I ever... him and Daniel Day-Lewis are my top two. It's because of Denzel Washington. I will still pass this movie.
Allie. I know.
I love Denzel.
I know.
And I love him in this. I think the performances are so good in this movie. Like, everyone was really good in it. Hey. I even hate Mickey Rourke with the passion. When he came on screen, I was like, ugh.
She
and
did.
And then I was like, all right, whatever.
Ethan Hawke was amazing.
I have to agree, it's so long.
Yeah.
And it feels long. It actually feels longer than its actual runtime, which is tough to do. I think it's incredibly self-indulgent. I just feel like Tony Scott was just like, ugh, I'm so cool. And again, with the jump cuts.
Top Gun. I'm so cool.
The jump cuts and the slow-mo and the sepia tone and the... it's just a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of different filters going on.
The filters.
It wasn't cliche back then.
I had to look it up because I was like, did he direct that movie Domino? And he did.
Okay.
Which is like the exact same fucking movie.
Which is like the exact same fucking movie.
You get to see Keira Knightley's boobs in that for like a split second.
Yeah. I was going to fail it because I was really annoyed by this movie. But I think talking about it has helped me a little bit. So I am going to pass it.
Ah, love potion number 9.
Yes.
Yay.
But it is by this by the skin of Denzel Washington's teeth.
It's the acting that really does it for me.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
I agree. It's long, and I said that at the beginning. It could be so much shorter.
It really could. It's not even the first part. It's the second part.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's after she gets taken. I was like,
yeah,
okay, so this is going to be pretty fast. And it's just so much extra shit.
Yeah. And then when you find out that she's alive, it's still like another 20 minutes.
I just assumed she was still alive. Like, I always thought she was still alive. But I just feel like we didn't need the, like, I mean, I appreciate the torture scene, so that's fine. I didn't need, like, this guy, and then we have to go to the rave, and then we have to go to this third guy, and then we have to go to this fourth guy. And it's like, can we just, like, jump people a little bit? Like, it just seems like it was too much.
Yeah.
Or, how much in-between storyline where they're like, okay, we're going to research this license plate number, and then we're going to research this debit card, and then we're going to research...
It's like we were watching it in time.
Liam Neeson, again, did it all by himself.
Very fast.
How long was she being held captive?
I think
how many
it was
weeks
weak.
You think?
It was,
I think it was weeks.
Well, he
weeks.
He said he needed
a
month to survive,
for a
right?
Long time.
Or to get better. He needed at least
injured.
A month there.
Yeah.
Six weeks?
They said he literally dying from the first time he got shot.
So he's got 4 weeks of recovery, and then he's got, what, 2 weeks of revenge?
I don't know.
Well, he wasn't
It's hard to say.
I really don't think he was fully recovered, because if you notice...
He was hurt.
He really wasn't using his left arm where he got shot initially.
Yeah, he was kind of holding it.
In the tape, he was
mildly bleeding from his wounds at certain points in the movie.
Because, you know, he would, like, go swimming and...
Yes!
No.
They probably just made sure his lung was inflated and he was off of oxygen. He was like, peace out.
Well, good job, Tammy. Pass.
Well, cool.
All around.
And now you can tell your dad all about it.
I did. I talked to him about it earlier today. He was a little upset by my critiques.
Oh.
What are you talking about, Allison? It was great. It's a great movie.
Allie, what?
It's a great
come
movie.
On, Allie. What are you
all
talking
right,
about?
Dad. All right, Dad.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap up Allie Appreciation Month with Guido's pick. Guido,
yes.
Quid pro quo.
I have chosen Falling Down, which is a Pixar comedy, is directed by Joel Schumacher. It came out in 93 and stars Michael Douglas, and a Duvall's in it. So I look forward to discussing that next week with you.
Yeah, where can people watch it?
I always buy it. So, like, it's on. Oh,
you're
wait,
the worst.
Wait.
No. Technically, I can back this up because... my brother, superfan Taylor, he wanted to watch this movie a little bit ago, and it is unfortunately only available through purchase or rental.
Okay.
It is.
It's in between services right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we are part of the Deluxe Edition Network. You can learn more about us and the other podcasts on the network at deluxeeditionnetwork.com.
And the podcast of the month for March is Beard Laws. Bacon is my pod, and I need some creep.
Thank you, Christopher Walken.
You're welcome. Do it again.
Coming.
You want some cowbell?
Hey, you do that again, I'm going to stab you in the face with a soldering iron.
Ooh. Awesome. You can suggest a theme month on our website or by messaging us on social media. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next week, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.